Hey friends, I am so glad that you're joining us today for Harvest Online. I don't know where you're watching from today, but I am so thankful that God is not on quarantine. I am so thankful that the church is not a building. And I'm really thankful that we have the technology available for us to do this. Now, I know for many of you, this still feels a little bit strange. Trust me, I understand. I am preaching to an almost completely empty room. This is taking some adjustment, but I thought about something. You know, on a normal Sunday, we'll have three services. We'll have two at one location and then one at a second location. But today, we are truly multi-site. We have services happening all over the city, probably all over the state, and I might even have a few viewers come in from other states. So today, we're truly multi-site. And moms, dads, I just wanted to encourage you today. You are the campus pastor today. I need you today to lean in with your family, to encourage your family, to pray with your family, to engage, because today you are the campus pastor. Now, we're learning some things through this quarantine. We're learning that technology cannot replace the church. We're learning that technology cannot replace coming together and the community that church creates. In fact, President Trump said this week about online church, he said, "Online is never going to be like being there." I have to agree. It's not the same without you. Lisa and I want you to know that we miss you. We miss hanging out in the lobby. We miss the hugs and the high fives and drinking coffee with you. We're both extreme extroverts. So this is really difficult for us. And we just want you to know we love you and we're praying for you. In fact, if you would, I know I can't really see it, but I think I'll feel it. Why don't you just right now reach out towards your screen and give me an air high five. All right. So we're air high fiving right now. Thank you so much. By the way, Easter is only 2 weeks away. Can you believe that? And we don't know if we're going to be back in church buildings by then, or if we're going to be celebrating Easter online. But either way, we want you to begin now inviting your friends to our Harvest Easter experience. And what we've done is we've made it really easy for you today. There is a post on our Harvest Facebook, a digital invite to our Easter experience. You can grab that. You can share it with friends. You can tag friends. Just begin now, just 2 weeks away, inviting your friends to worship with us on Easter. Now, I'm excited today because we're starting a new series. We had a series already planned. It was supposed to kick off last week, and then everything happened. And so what it's forced us to do is to really get in the presence of God and ask Him, what is the word that you have for us now? We know that things are changing, so where are we now? And I'm excited. He's put a word in my heart, and today we're starting a series that's simply called Love is Greater than Fear. If you're watching around the world right now, there's a lot of fear. I believe that this is a timely word for us, and I'm excited. Now, I'm going to invite you to do something with me. On a normal Sunday, when we're all in the building together, we would do this. So I'm going to have you do it today, right where you are. We're going to pause for about 15 seconds, and I'm going to ask you to do something. I want to ask you to position your heart to hear from God today. One of the things I love about God is how He can speak to me here and you there and your friend over in their living room. He can speak to all of us at the exact same time. And I believe that God has a word for you today, but I also believe that how we position ourselves to hear from Him really matter. So would you just join me right now where you are? Would you just open your heart? Father, we ask right now that you would speak to us the word, Lord, that I need and that my family needs for today. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you for doing that with me. Think back with me for a second to second grade, maybe third grade math. When you were learning the symbols greater than and less than, think about that. I don't know if your teacher shared this hack with you, but this is how I remember learning the difference, because it was always a little confusing. The sign, if you don't remember, it's like a sideways V. And for a little while, you're trying to figure out, well, which way is greater than and which way is less than. And here's how my teacher taught it to me. They said, look, the V looks like the mouth of an alligator, and an alligator always wants to eat more rather than less. And so whichever way that open V is the direction of that, that is the number that is greater than. So you can just remember that as we're looking at this series today. Love is greater than fear. Today in America and across the world, there's a pandemic. I know that's not news to you today, but I'm not even talking about the coronavirus. I'm actually talking about fear. The coronavirus isn't what's shutting things down. This week, our New Mexico schools let us know that they're going to be closed for the remainder of the year. Listen, the virus is not really what's shutting that down. What's shutting things down today is fear. And it's showing up in all kinds of ways. In our lives, it's showing up. Maybe you experienced some of this. It's showing up in sleepless nights. Some of you are laying awake at night and you're worried and you're thinking and you're processing, and it's difficult to sleep. For some, it's showing up in the form of hoarding. This is why people are rushing to the store. I don't know why we're hoarding some of the things we're hoarding. I still haven't been able to connect the dots between a virus and toilet paper, but nonetheless, it's showing up today. Fear is showing up in us hoarding supplies. It's showing up in depression. It's showing up in worry. Many are wondering, am I going to have enough in my retirement when this is over? Am I going to have a job when this is over? The worry is coming out in all kinds of ways. It's showing up in anxiety. Fear is showing up in overeating in some and in undereating in others. Fear is showing up in all kinds of ways. Before all of the stores closed down, my family made a trip to our local Cabela's. And man, you should have seen the crowd, especially in the firearms and ammo section. There were so many people. And my wife made a comment as we kind of went past that part of the store. She said, you could see the fear in people's eyes. They were snatching up as much ammo as they could. They were grabbing guns. They were doing things. In fact, the Washington Post wrote about this. And according to the Washington Post, it said, the National Instant Criminal Background Check System said that it responded to inquiries on 2.8 million prospective gun buyers this last month. That's the third largest month since the system was created in 1998. Forbes wrote an article, and a gun store owner was quoted as saying this, people who were anti-gun their whole lives are now making purchases. Why is this happening? It's because of fear. Let me talk to you for a few minutes today about fear. Number one, fear is powerful. That's what we're seeing in the world today. Fear has a grip on people. It's powerful. But you also need to know this. It will make you do things that you would not normally do, because fear is a liar. Fear can quickly make you become irrational. And here's how it works. Here's how fear works, is fear magnifies things so that it's all that you see. You see, fear is out there and it's kind of a small thing. But what the enemy does is the enemy tries to bring it closer and closer and magnifies it so that you're not able to see, because all you see is the thing in front of you that you are afraid of. Fear is a normal emotion. In fact, used correctly, fear can actually keep you safe. Fear at the right time and in the right proportion can keep you from doing something stupid. I remember as a teenager, I was up in the mountains in one of our rivers here in New Mexico, and there's a spot where there's a rock that's up high overlooking the river, and I remember climbing up on that rock and walking out to the edge, and as I got out to the edge and I peered over, there was some fear that rose up in my heart, and I backed off, and while everyone else was, you know, chanting and they're trying to convince me to jump, as I peered over the edge, there was enough fear in my heart that it actually kept me safe that day. I'm a risk taker, but that day my fear kept me safe because I backed off of the edge. Later, I found out that there have been a lot of people over the years that have made that jump and either became a quadriplegic or didn't even survive the jump. That day, fear kept me safe. But used incorrectly or a disproportionate amount of fear will actually cripple you. It will paralyze you. It will keep you from continuing to live your life. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing fear at unprecedented levels. We're seeing fear. It's powerful. It's gripping our hearts and it's keeping us from the life that God has for us. Here's the other thing about fear. Fear grows in isolation. And this is interesting because, you know, when this started, we were told to not be in groups of more than 100. And then it was changed to 50. And then it was changed to 10. And then this last week, it was changed to 5. And I'm not against the quarantine. Listen, I'm not. I'm thankful for our leaders who are working so hard to keep us safe, to protect us. I'm not against it, but you need to know that there's an emotional and psychological side effect when you are alone for too long. When you are in isolation, things like fear begin to grow, and you need to know that this is going to happen. Please, while you are social distancing, stay connected to friends, especially friends who have faith. Otherwise, your fear will grow and it will become disproportionate to reality. When you're isolated, fear makes you vulnerable to the lies. You begin to believe all of these things and your fear grows. You feed the fear. Here's the other thing. Fear is contagious. We know that the coronavirus is contagious. That's why it's spreading so rapidly. But you also need to know that that's not the only thing that's contagious. Fear is contagious. When fearful people get around other fearful people, the fear grows exponentially. It's not just 1 + 1 = 2. You get 2 fearful people together and the fear is exponential. You add more people to that and it's exponential and the fear will grow. But here's the other thing. When fearful people get around men and women who are full of the Spirit of God, when fearful people get around others who are full of the hope of God, when fearful people get around others who are full of the faith of God and the love of God, listen, when that happens, fear begins to diminish. Undoubtedly, you've heard this phrase in recent news, in recent weeks. You've heard this phrase, we need to flatten the curve. Our government is trying to flatten the curve of the coronavirus. You've seen the graphs, right? Every day, the number of cases is escalating. And what our government wants to do is to flatten that out. We don't want it to keep growing. We want it to flatten out. We want to get this thing out of the way faster. So church, listen to me today. You have a job to do. Your job is to flatten the curve of fear. Your job in your neighborhood, in your family, in your life group, on the baseball team that you're connected with and you're still texting them, whatever influence you have, church, our job is to flatten the curve of fear because fear is contagious. Fear is contagious. Here's the other thing about fear. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. Here's what's happened. Fear has been weaponized, okay? It is rampant. It's been weaponized by the enemy. It's spreading faster than the virus. And the problem is, because of this deep fear, we forget who the real enemy is. So let me be clear. We're facing today implications that are natural. We're facing a virus. We're facing economic things. We're facing things that are in the natural world. But listen, the battle is not in the natural. The battle is spiritual. Ephesians chapter 6 talks about this. It says very clearly, we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Church, listen to me. We need to practice good hygiene. We need to practice social distancing. But what we also need to do is engage in a spiritual battle. I love seeing all of the churches rising up right now. I mean, your Facebook feed right now is full of churches that are proclaiming the hope, that are proclaiming the good news. It's all over. Churches are uniting. People are coming together. And this is exactly what needs to happen, is the church needs to own this in the spiritual realm. We'll let the doctors do what the doctors are supposed to do, and the politicians do what they're supposed to do. But listen, church, we need to rise up. It's time for us to own this in the spiritual, because it's not a natural battle, it's a spiritual battle. See, what happens, and this is what Ephesians talks about, is that when we operate in the heavenlies, when we operate in the spiritual realms, we are able to dictate what happens on the natural level by our actions in the spiritual. And let's also be aware that one of the primary weapons the enemy is using is fear. The fear that you're feeling right now. Am I going to catch the virus? How many people are going to die? Will I still have a job after this? What if something happens to my children? What if the stock market doesn't recover? All of these are fears that are rising up in people's hearts today. And I can guarantee you that those fears are not from God. Here's how. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 says this: "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." Watch this. "But test the spirits and see whether they are from God." So today, what I want to ask you to do is let's test the spirit of fear that is rampant in our world today to see if it's a spirit that is from God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'm sure you've heard this verse many times, especially recently, but this is how we test it. We hold the thing up against the Word of God to see if it's from God, to see if it's true. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 7 says this: "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So I can guarantee you today that the fear that's rampant today is not a spirit that's from God. So I want to help you today. Let's combat the fear that you're feeling today. Let's go back to second, third grade math. Let's go back to the greater than sign. What we're learning in this pandemic is often circumstances are greater than us. That's not just in a pandemic. You've been in places and in times where you were sick, or you had a bill that you couldn't pay. You had something, you know, that was going on. And in that moment, you understood that the circumstance was greater than you, greater than your strength, greater than your resources, greater than your emotional capacity that day. We've learned that. And what the pandemic has done is it has magnified that, so that now the whole world is understanding there are things that can happen in this world that can disrupt everything that we have ever known, and it can happen so fast. Circumstances often are bigger than us. But here's what we also, what happens is often when we're overwhelmed, we forget that God is bigger than Satan. We forget this. We forget because we're so overwhelmed by what's going on that God is bigger than Satan. So let's put things in perspective this morning. God is not scared of the things that scare us. He's not afraid of a virus, because the scripture tells us that when he went to the cross and he paid the price, that one of the things that he defeated every sickness, every disease. Yeah, listen, at the name of Jesus, every demon flees, every knee bows. So God's not afraid of the virus. He's not afraid of the economic implications of the world. He's not afraid. Listen, God is not afraid. I was reading in Luke chapter 17 this week, a story I'd read before, but it's a story where Jesus is walking along a road towards Jerusalem, and some men come up to him who have a disease called leprosy. If you're not familiar with leprosy, it was a horribly contagious disease. It would literally affect a person to where their body would almost rot from, and their part, the extremities would begin to fall off. And I mean, it was a horrible, horrible disease. So as soon as someone was diagnosed with leprosy in the Bible, they were told to socially distance, all right? What we're doing today is not a new thing. It's been practiced for a long time. And it says here in Luke 17 that Jesus was going along this road, and as he entered the village, 10 men with leprosy. I thought that was interesting because we've been told to socially distance and to not be in groups of more than 10, this week more than 5. So these guys were in a group of 10. And it says in the scripture, they stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And here's what I love, because God's not afraid of the things we're afraid of, is a normal person in that situation would have ran away. A fearful person in that situation would have said, "I'm not getting close to you. I don't even want to look at you. I don't want to catch what you catch." But Jesus wasn't, he's not afraid of what we're afraid. So he stands his ground and he says to the men, he says, "Go show yourselves to the priest." I don't know why he decided that method to heal that day, but this is what he did. He said, "Go show yourself." So they needed some faith. They had to go to the priest and they had to go and they had to say, "Hey, check us out." Because if you thought you were cleansed of leprosy, the priest had to give you the okay, the thumbs up. And so they had to go with some faith to these men. And it says they were cleansed of their leprosy. But what I love is that Jesus stood his ground, because he's not afraid of the things that we're afraid of. So how does this help us out? What does it matter that circumstances are bigger than me and God is bigger than Satan? Because it looks like I'm still stuck in this great, big, overwhelming circumstance. Here's the one thing that I believe changes everything, is that love is greater than fear. Let me show you why this is so powerful. 1 John, again, chapter 4, verse 13. "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit." Friends, you have been given the Spirit of God. And it says, "We have seen and testify the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God." And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. We know and rely. We are dependent on the love that God has for us. And then it says this, because God is love. This is who he is. "Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." So circumstances are bigger than you. God is bigger than Satan. And the Spirit of God has now been given to us because God loves us. And verse 16 again says, "So we know and rely on the love God has for us." And verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." Friends, when you experience the love of God, the life-changing grace so big it doesn't even make sense, Jesus going to the cross to pay the price for our sins, sacrificial kind of love, you no longer have to live in fear. And all of a sudden, 1 John 4:4 becomes a reality in our lives. You've heard this verse before, but in this context, in the world we're living in today, in the things we're seeing right now, in the fear that is spreading today, all of a sudden the context changes how we read this, because it says this, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Someone today needs to be reminded of this. So some believer today who you've been up all night, you've been worrying, you've had anxiety, you're hoarding, you're going through the emotion of fear, you need to be reminded today that greater is he that is in you. The Spirit of God lives inside of you. God is love, and love is greater than fear. You need to be reminded today. So here's one practical step. I'll just share one. I'm going to get real practical. I love the scripture. I love the spiritual side of this, but let's get super practical right now. And it comes from an experience. I woke up on Monday morning and I was beginning to spiral in my mind. Some of you will understand this. It begins with a simple question. What happens if we get sick? What happens to the church? What happens to our finances? And it begins to spiral. So what I did is, I know it's old school, and millennials, you'll make fun of me because I know we could do this digitally, but I literally got out a notepad and a pen, and I sat down in the living room there, and I had a cup of coffee in my hand, and I just began to make this list. I began a list called, What Am I Afraid Of? Here's the practical step. Make your own what am I afraid of list. Go ahead, put them down. All the fears, just brain dump. Just get them all out on paper. But then here's the real secret. Go back and face every one of those fears and hold up that fear to the truth that can only be found in God's word. In other words, here's what I'm thinking, but God, what are you thinking? So I'll just give you some examples. I wrote down a fear. I said, I'm afraid that the church that I pastor, that Harvest, is going to fail. Are we going to make it through this? I mean, are people going to stop tithing and we're not going to be able to afford things? Are they going to tune in online when all these other churches can do it better and they got more equipment and bigger teams? I mean, I began to spiral. Is Harvest going to make it? And I went to the scripture, and Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to come against it. So I fought the fear with the truth of God, and I began to pray. I began to pray God's word. I said, Jesus, you said you'd build your church, so I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. I don't have to sit up at night wondering if the checks are going to come in. I don't have to worry when we open the doors if people are going to come back. You said you would build your church, and so I am going to stand upon that promise. I wrote down, I'm afraid for my personal finances. I began to categorize it. I'm afraid for what it means in the immediate. I'm afraid of what it means for the future. I'm afraid for my retirement. I'm afraid for my college savings for my girls. I'm afraid for the bills that are coming in. All of these things, this is the spiral. All this began to happen. So I went to God's word. I went to 1 Timothy 6:17. It says, command those who are rich in this world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. And I was convicted because I had put my hope in some things of the world. And it says, which is so uncertain. Haven't we learned that today? I mean, everything in an instant, all of a sudden, it's all falling away. And so I'm looking at God's word. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is true. It says, but put your hope in God who richly provides us with everything we need for enjoyment. Matthew 6:31 says, don't worry. Saying, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What am I going to wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble in its own. And I began to weigh my fear with the truth of God's word. This is what I would encourage you to do this week, is to make your own what am I afraid of list, and then get into God's word and find the truth to combat it. Friends, I said this earlier, the job of the church is to flatten the curve of fear. There are so many fearful people today, but I believe that there's something that travels faster than the virus. There's something that goes faster than fear, and it's love. Friends, you need to know today that love is contagious. I've been mainly talking about the love of God towards you and I, but let me help you today. The love that you are showing to your neighbor today, the love that you are giving when you go out to the grocery store, the love that you are expressing right now is contagious. It can travel faster than any other thing on the planet. I want to leave you with one verse, and then we're going to pray. I saw this verse this week, and it gave me an image of what it looks like when God's people understand the love of God. When God's people have experienced this life-changing love, greater than fear kind of a love. And here it is. I want to encourage you, because church, this is who we are today. Proverbs 28:1 says this, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. Isn't that what we're seeing today? People are running. They're frantic. They don't know what's going on. It says, the wicked run away when no one is chasing them. Watch this. But the godly are as bold as lions. Oh my goodness. I wish I could see through the camera into your living room, into your car, wherever you are right now. I wish I could see, because what I see in the spiritual realm when I'm talking to God's people is that the godly can be as bold as lions when everything else is falling apart. When society is crumbling, when the economy is crumbling, when we don't have a cure yet, listen, the godly are as bold as lions. So I want to pray with you today, and I know this, I might even feel weird where you're at right now, but I'm going to ask you today, if you're in a place where you have been experiencing fear, may not even be connected to the virus. You might be afraid today of what's going on in your marriage. You might be fearful for a situation with your kids. You might be fearful for something going on at work or whatever it is. If you're in a situation today and you're experiencing fear, you understood as I talked about fear. I said, fear is powerful. And you said, yes. I said, fear is a liar. Fear is irrational. You're understanding that. When you are in a situation today where you're facing fear, but you would say today, oh, Pastor Jason, I want to trade that fear for the love of God. I want to experience the love of God. I want, when it says there in 1 John, greater is he in me than he that is in the world. I need that. I need to experience the love of God. I need God to come into my life today so that I can combat this fear. I'm going to ask you today, right where you're at, even if you're the only person in the room that does this, would you just put your hand over your heart right now, and we're going to say a prayer. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you, even if you've done it before, would you invite Jesus to come into your life right now? Would you just say a simple prayer of asking him to come in, because greater is him in you than he that is in the world. Can we just pray right now? Father, I pray for my friends who right now, They're engaging. They're putting their hand over their heart. It's just a sign. It's just something to signify our faith, our step towards you. And Jesus, right now, I ask you, as many of my friends are, come into my life. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I accept you into my life, and I ask right now that you would come into my life, and I pray right now for every friend praying this prayer that right now the love of God would come into their lives, and it would drive out fear. Your word says that perfect love, and you're the only one that has perfect love. God, perfect love drives out fear. I pray for friends who have been sleepless, who've been worried, who've been anxious, who've been fearful, that this week we would experience a new normal, and that new normal is the love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, I'm so glad you joined us today. We would love to stay connected with you. You can comment below. You can email us. You can go to our website. We want to help you through this time. Listen, I'm praying for you every day. And this week, I'm going to pray that you would walk in the love of God, because love is greater than fear.